Welcome to the Over 40 Alpha Podcast with your host, Funk Roberts. Funk has co-authored the best-selling book, Rapid Body Makeover. He is a master metabolic trainer, has been interviewed as a fitness expert on NBC, ABC, and CBS affiliates, and has a dedicated following of over 1.5 million people worldwide. With this podcast, Funk is dedicated to helping men in their 40s, 50s, 60s, and beyond to regain their manhood and reach their highest potential through fitness, health, nutrition, mindset, and becoming over 40 alpha men. Join me in welcoming your host, Funk Roberts.
What's up, my brother, and welcome to the Over 40 Alpha Podcast. This is episode number 22, and thank you so much for spending time with me today. I truly, truly appreciate it. I'm your host, Funk Roberts. I'm 50 years old. I'm a former professional athlete turned master metabolic trainer, Amazon bestseller, MMA conditioning coach, and best known for being an over 40 transformation specialist for men in their 40s, 50s, 60s, beyond, helping you guys get into the best shape of your lives through mindset, recovery strategies, nutrition tips, workouts, and naturally boosting your testosterone. And I'm really excited for you to be here, and I want to thank you so much for being here, because on today's episode, which is episode number 22, we're going to talk about a nutrition and diet plan that I've specifically been using for the last, probably for the last 6 to 7 years, but truly for the last 4 or 5 years, I've really implemented it into my life. And this, I feel, is one of the best nutrition systems, eating lifestyles, diet plans for men over 40, 50, 60 to be able to sustain, right? Like, listen, when it comes to diets, when it comes to nutrition, you want to be on a plan that allows you that sustainability for over 2, 3, 4 years. Like, if you're doing a plan that you can't follow for a year, at least a year straight, follow, that's not restrictive, then you're on the wrong diet plan. You're on the wrong, well, I don't like calling them diet plans. I mean, who cares, really? Diet, nutrition, we all know what we're talking about. But you want a lifestyle nutrition plan. You want a nutrition system. You want something that you can use and follow for years. And that's intermittent fasting for me. Years. I even wrote a book and a program called Flexible Fasting, which is a fasting program that I wrote specifically for just the general public to use, that allows you to fast throughout the week and then enjoy whatever you want to eat in the weekends, which is, it's great. I mean, I used that for a while. But now that I'm in my 40s, and actually I'm 50 right now, I realized that even that flexible fasting plan wasn't great for me as I was older. It was great when I was a little bit younger, but now as I'm older and I need to focus on hormones, right? That's what we need to focus on, our hormones, man. You know, our testosterone levels and keeping estrogen low and keeping, you know, cortisol levels low and keeping our insulin at bay and our thyroid levels high so our metabolism can boost. Like, we need to have a nutrition plan that supports our hormones, you know, so that we can burn fat, burn away that belly fat, so that we can lose weight, so that we can build some lean muscle. So that's the challenge. And there's so many, you know, diets out there. There's keto, paleo, you know, low carb, low fat, vegan, all of these diets that do not support us as men over 40, 50, 60, 70. So if you're on that diet right now, you're listening to this, man, get off of it right now, because what you're going to learn today is about how you can implement intermittent fasting into your diet, or actually into your health plan, right? Your health regime. Intermittent fasting is going to be something that's sustainable, something that's going to support your hormones, something that's going to help you lose that belly fat that you don't want, or lose weight if you have a lot of weight to lose. You know, it's easy to follow, it's simple, right? And you know, one of the things that I want to talk about as well is I actually have a program called Fasting Over 40. If you go to over40shred.com/fastingover40, that's the number 40, by the way, then you're going to get that plan. That plan that I put together is a intermittent fasting plan that is specifically designed for men over 40, because not every other intermittent fasting plan works for us. Because remember, we have to eat foods, we have to have the micronutrients that will support our testosterone, that will support our hormones. There's a lot of fasting protocols out there that just still don't, like, even though they're fasting, that still doesn't support our protocol, that, you know, our hormones that support us, that what we need. So I created this fasting program specifically for men over 40, specifically to help with our hormones, specifically to help us lose weight, burn belly fat, get lean, get ripped, get shredded, and have muscle. And most importantly, easy to follow. Easy, right? You're going to learn how to use, you know, the specific fasting protocol, which is easy. You'll use it every day, and you'll eat carbs, you'll eat fats, you'll eat proteins, you'll eat vegetables, you'll eat the foods you love. You'll be able to cheat more than normal and still get incredible results. But you know what? You're not going to want to cheat, because you're going to want to eat foods that support that hormone, which are nice, rich, delicious man foods, man. So go to over40shred.com/fasting over 40. Get that program, man. I'm serious. Like, if you've been struggling with your diet, you've been struggling with all this marketing of, you know, keto this, keto that, paleo this, paleo that, let me try this, no longer do you have to try that, right? Like, even my other MetaTest Boost nutrition plan, which I've actually moved, taking a lot of those elements and put them into the fasting, guys love it. Like, the guys in my membership, my over 40 alpha brotherhood, step up, the hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of them are getting, like, insane results. Like, it's crazy, man. Like, every day I go in, there's another person who just lost, you know, 40 pounds, or just got ripped abs, or, you know, literally transformed their body, lost 100 pounds. Like, it's insane. Every day, like, every day you walk in there, there's another before and after. So it's incredible. They use that nutrition plan, but a lot of them are now starting to use the fasting, and they're fasting, and then they're implementing the MetaTest Boost nutrition, which is, you know, carbs, fats, proteins, and vegetables or fruits, eating delicious foods that they love, and losing weight and burning fat. Guys, it's time to stop guessing. That's why I'm here. I'm here to do all the science. There's tons of science and research backed for this over 40 fasting over 40 program that I have. A lot of research, a lot of science, and of course this Dr. Dom, who we're going to be talking to today, will also support and back why fasting, intermittent fasting, is amazing for men over 40, how it helps our hormones, and you're going to learn a lot. So before we start, just go to over40shred.com/fasting over 40. That's the number 40. Grab that program right now, and then continue along, and you'll see. Or you can wait till the end, whatever you want to do. But thank you so much for joining me. You guys are awesome. And Fasting Over 40 is my program. Over40shred.com/fasting over 40. Grab it. It's like $9. So grab it, man. Like, it's insane if you don't. All right. And enjoy this amazing podcast we have with Dr. Dom. She's back again. The doctor's back to talk about hormones, to talk about intermittent fasting, to talk about how you can get into the best shape of your life using this incredible fasting protocol. We are live, people, and welcome to the Over 40 Alpha podcast. In this podcast, I've got my amazing, incredible, smart, intelligent, beautiful, awesome Dr. Dom in the house. What's up, Dr. Dom? How are you?
I'm good, Funk. How are you?
Good.
Thank you for that wonderful intro.
You're amazing, man. You're amazing, woman. For people who don't know who you are, just let them know who you are first before we start.
Yeah. So my name is Dominika Zajasna. I'm a naturopathic doctor practicing in Toronto, Canada. And my clinical focus is hormonal health.
Right.
So I work with patients to help explore, investigate, and optimize hormones so that they can truly not have to worry about their health and live purposeful and, you know, joyful lives. So we got to really uncover what is going on in patients hormonally so that we can address that and improve their overall health.
which is awesome, because one of the major key hormones for us guys in our 40s, 50s, 60s, 70s is the testosterone. Yeah. And also keeping all the other hormones at bay. So everything we talk about, generally speaking, in this podcast, specifically with Dr. Dom, is, you know, testosterone and keeping those other hormones at bay, you know, estrogen and cortisol. And
that's right.
And the whole, everything.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, when I work with men, we typically start with understanding what they already know, and ensure we reinforce that positively. For example, men know that, you know, they need to drink enough water and they need to limit alcohol, and those are all big wins. And then the next thing that we always address is, you know, where are they getting their information, whether it's colleagues, friends, or family. And then what we want to do is essentially dispel any myths, right? Or you know, if they're not using friends or family or colleagues, they're using Dr. Google.
Exactly. And Dr. Google, unfortunately, doesn't have a lot of information for men over 40. So
there you go, right? So we basically want to get, we want to engage men to be active participants in their health. Yeah. We want to start a dialogue on things that they know that we can expand on. We fill the gaps of information on things that they don't know. And then we dispel myths on things that they believe to be true when in fact they're not.
Which and is amazing.
I was just going to say, it just helps to open the dialogue on things like longevity and optimized aging, reducing risk of chronic disease, fertility, libido, all of these things, right?
Yeah, which is amazing, because once you learn something and you start to apply it, then it helps you throughout the rest of your life. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, you're not yo-yoing up and down and, oh, I lost this much weight because I did this diet and, oh, now I just put it back on, or, you know, all these things are happening and I don't know why. Once you start to learn why and start to apply the stuff that you learn, you'll see that, okay, I can sustain this for the rest of my life.
Right? Yeah.
Because it's not hard. We're not restricting you and we're not, you know, telling you to do these crazy workouts, or we're not telling you to you know, it's all sustainable stuff.
That's right.
Right. It's all sustainable stuff. And one of the things that people ask me about all the time, and something that I use, is intermittent fasting. Mm-hmm. And, you know, how can intermittent fasting be used for the aging man, the middle-aged man, you know, in regards to weight loss, in regards to hormones, in regards to sustainability? So in today's episode, that's what we're going to talk about. We're going to talk about intermittent fasting and talk about why, you know, you should implement intermittent fasting or not. I don't know, but we're going to decide what's going on.
Yeah,
right?
And the one thing that I want to you know, applaud you for is just the fact that you have created an online community that men can join, because the fact of the matter is community is free medicine.
Right,
where you're not having to do it on your own, figuring it out on your own. You have these experiences, you share them with others who may, you know, will also share experiences and what works for them and what doesn't work for them, right? So you don't want to be working on your health in isolation. You want to be doing it in community, like the one that you've created.
Yeah, thank you so much. I really appreciate that. That's exactly the point. Like, yeah, it's huge. I think the support that these guys are giving each other on a daily basis, it's like, it's incredible.
Yeah.
And it's very helpful for each other, you know, because again, their experiences are helping other people, especially the newbies that keep coming in.
Mm-hmm.
We're always on there talking and coaching, and yeah, it's great. And they feel like they're not alone, because yeah,
that's right.
There's nothing out there for guys to do this, you know, with other guys, because that's not the first thing you're talking about with your buddies. You know, you're talking about sports, you're talking about women, you're talking about whatever it is.
Totally.
A lot of locker room talk, but you're not talking about, oh yeah, today I did, I had my two balance plate meals and, you know, I did a body weight circuit and, like, you know, we don't talk like that. We want to be able to go, hey man, yeah, I'm just trying this new nutrition plan out, it's really helping me, or, you know, we want to talk like that, but
yeah. And we want to normalize that kind of dialogue.
Right. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
So intermittent fasting, let's dive into this phenomenon.
Mm-hmm.
What are your thoughts on?
So I guess the first place that we can start is just looking at how human beings have been eating historically. So up until not too long ago, food security was was not necessarily established. Like way back when we were wearing, you know, loincloths and running around with spears, yeah. we would literally come up against periods of time where we would not be eating. Of course, we cannot not eat for beyond 2 months because we would die. But right. we know that periods of days and even weeks, provided that you're hydrating, that you can survive with that, right? So fast forward to 2019, where food is abundant, where you open your fridge and there's no food. So your next meal is a phone call away or a car ride away. This was not the case for human beings early on. And so if we actually look at the epidemiological studies and what we understand the effects of fasting to be, is that we know that it improves aging and longevity. Mm-hmm. Okay. So the more fasting type of periods that you have in your life, the longer you live. So in fact, if you eat a third less calories, you can expect to live a third longer.
Nice. I like that.
Okay. So, and we can go into the details of what you're eating, but it's that is actually even less important than the amount that you're eating and how you're distributing those calories throughout the day.
Right. Right.
So I just wanted to start off with that.
No, that's good. That's good. And that totally makes sense to me because, you know, you read, I used to even do this, you know, back in the day, it was like you're eating 4 to 6 times a day and, you know, you're trying to spread out your meals to keep the metabolism going. And you're kind of like, you know, slowly feeding like cows grazing. And that does work that does work.
Yeah.
But it's just not sustainable. Like people can't eat 4 to 6 times a day, every day for the rest
right.
of the day. Very, very hard to do that.
Yes. And we're not genetically designed to be eating all the time. And in right. fact, what we know based on animal studies is that during periods of fasting, it's like we're activating the body's healing system. So it's kind of like we're going back to the body shop and saying, okay, has what we've been doing up to this point, has it been working for us?
Right.
Okay. Yeah. Because the one hormone that is active during times of food abundance is insulin.
Right.
And insulin is a growth hormone, and it's a non-specific growth hormone, meaning that it'll promote the growth and proliferation of cells and cholesterol and things like that throughout the body. So during periods of fasting, insulin comes down and the cell sort of, the body sort of has a look and appraises the situation to say, have we been efficient up until this point?
Right.
And during those periods of time, the immune system is actually activated. Hormones are actually improved until food comes back online.
Right.
And you're doing things more efficiently.
And that's during the fast.
During the fast, correct.
Nice. Okay, you know what? Let's dive into the different. Okay, so maybe we should dive into the types of fasting.
Yeah,
and that go ahead. People can understand, okay, what is fasting? And kind of like, okay, well, here are some of the types of fasting that, like for me, for our program, we actually I implement a 24-hour fast, 24-hour fast once a week in one of the phases. So, you know, phase one, we just, you know, it's really about trying to get your body fat down to as low as possible so that, you know, our testosterone levels can produce a lot more efficiently.
And right.
Phase two, we start to tackle muscle building because, you know, sarcopenia, loss of muscle growth. So we need to, you know, stimulate muscle with resistance training. And then in phase three, it's called our total body shred. And that's when I introduced that 20 to 24 hour fast, because by time the first two phases are done, even after the first phase, these guys have that eating down pat. You know, they're eating a balanced plate with, you know, complex carbs, proteins, fats and vegetables or fruits every meal that they eat, whether it's 2-3 times a day. And so they know the foods that should be eating, the foods that are going to boost their testosterone, keep all the other hormones down and give them the micronutrients that they need. So in phase three, which is the total body shred phase, that's when we introduced the 20 to 24 hour fast. And it's so funny because and that's just once a week. Okay. So that's one fast, guys. That's once a week. And like the 24 hour fast, I guess it's called, but I just start 20 to 24 just to, you know, but it's so funny because the resistance in doing that, the mindset of not eating for 20 hours, that's impossible. Like that's the very first thing they're saying, like, oh man, I don't know if I can do this. Then fast forward 2 weeks in, I love this. Can I do it more?
Exactly. So it's not uncommon when you have, when you speak to someone about fasting and that they will benefit from it and you're, and it's part of your prescription, there's so much resistance there because they, when you, when they're not fed, they feel cheated.
Right. Yeah.
And when you're hungry, you're suffering. So why would I want either? Right. But the fact of the matter is once you have experienced fasting, then instinctually you actually don't want to overeat.
Right.
And in fact, not only do you not want to overeat, but then there are certain foods that you almost have an aversion to. Like, for example, if you, prior to starting a program like this, could down, you know, a burger and fries and a large pop, well, fast forward weeks into this program, you have probably a few bites of your burger and 2 to 3 fries, and you're like, you know what? I'm satisfied. That's more than enough.
Right.
Right? So it's like that instinct comes on. Comes online that wasn't there before because you were just in constant food abundance.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. It's, yeah. And okay. So let's just kind of go into the one fast that everyone knows about is the 16-8 fast.
Yes.
So that's kind of like the most popular. So why don't you explain that to us?
So the 16-hour fast is essentially, or the 16-8 fast is you're eating within an 8-hour window and you're fasting, over a 16-hour window. And this one is usually the easiest because people will just still be able to adhere to a 3 meals per day type of meal plan. And they don't feel as cheated and it's sustainable over the long term. Okay.
Yeah.
The one thing that I do counsel my patients on is the fact that they tend to want to allow themselves to eat later in the day. And so what they're doing is they're delaying breakfast until noon or 2 o'clock.
Right.
Now, what research has shown is delaying breakfast is actually not ideal.
Ooh.
And it actually contributes to hardening of the arteries and can actually have the opposite effect. So I do encourage patients not to skip breakfast and in fact, stop eating earlier in the day.
Okay. So for me, I've been fasting for a long time. I created a fasting program actually because it was just something that I started to read more about. And yeah, for me, I actually do the skipping breakfast thing. But the reason, so I do this, I skip my breakfast. And now I don't even call it breakfast, really, to tell you the truth, because it's just, I've fast so much that it's like, okay, I'll stop. I just make sure that I have that 16 to 18 hour window. So if I eat at, you know, 7 PM is my last meal or 6 PM or whatever it is. And I just
know
that at least I have that. But generally speaking, I don't really start eating till 12 or 1 or 2 o'clock. But for me, it's like, I'm not a type of person that will eat late unless I'm shooting something or whatever. And then I know that, you know, I've got the next day, or if I like go to watch fights or something and fights are late and I'll go to the, you know, to watch the fights and have a meal later on. But, my window, generally speaking, I have maybe 2 meals a day because I need.
What I want to add to the statement that I made is a lot of this can be quantified in blood work.
Yeah.
And so you're looking to see if your body's trending towards, a direction, say with respect to cholesterol or cortisol, stress hormone, cortisol, or any set of kind of inflammatory markers that would suggest that the fasting plan that you're on is not working for you.
Right. Right.
Right. So we can use data points to help, give direction to our treatment.
Yeah. But I find that skipping breakfast, because a lot of people in the world don't eat breakfast and they don't realize that they're literally fasting, but like, you know, they'll be like, oh, well, they don't eat breakfast, but they'll eat at like 10 o'clock or when they get to work or something.
Right.
But they don't eat what they call breakfast.
Right.
But if you just, you know, if you just think about it, you know, if you're doing a 16 hour fast, cause that's what 16-8 is, 16 hours fasting, 8 hours of your feeding window. And that 16 hours you're sleeping for 8 to 9 hours of that 16 hours.
Right.
Like, so that's already chopped off. So really,
that's right.
And truly, depending on how much before you, you know, the time before you ate, before you sleep, and the time, you know, that is left over
after you've woken up. Yeah, bad. That's right. That's right. It's, and that's why I think that's the most doable fasting program. Yeah. They can manage it in their day to day.
Totally. Now with the 16-hour fast. So again, you're eating during the window of eating, the 8-hour window, you're eating the same amount of calories that you would eat on a general day, right?
Yes.
That's what your goal is. But like I said before, I know for me, I don't eat as many calories just because I just don't need it. Like really, if I'm eating 8 hours, I make sure my meal plates are pretty substantial. You guys,
that's right.
On Instagram, and you can see my plates there. I have a good portion of carbs, fats, you know, have my proteins,
vegetables. Yeah.
And so when I eat once, I'm full for hours, like 3-4 hours, and then I'll just eat again and I'm good. Like I don't need to eat.
And that's the idea, is if you're hungry 2 to 3 hours after you've eaten,
yeah,
then that meal, that preceding meal was not enough. You have to go back to it and assess it to see if you had enough protein, enough fat, enough complex carbs, so on and so forth. Because you're, by design, that makes no sense to have to be constantly eating.
Right.
Right. It takes away from being able to be productive and work. Right. So there's something wrong with your preceding meal if you're hungry.
For sure. For sure. So, okay. So then, so that's the 16-8. Again, I find that just like you, that it's the easiest one to start with.
Yeah.
The easiest one to, well, if you're going to go dive into intermittent fasting, this is the easiest one to start with, because this will get you yourself, your habits used to fasting on a daily basis, you know, trying to hit that 16-hour window, because it is key that, and I think research shows this, but you'll be able to tell me, that you have to hit that 16-hour window in order to benefit from, you know, the fat loss and some to get that benefit. Because some people will only do 14 or only do 13, but it's that 16-hour fasting window that's the key, right?
So interestingly, and I'm still in the process of just getting to understand this more and more as time goes on, the 16-8 is the ideal, but it appears to also, so individuals will still benefit if they're eating within a 10-hour window and fasting for 14.
Right.
Again, but what you have to keep in mind is, are they restricting calories then? Like, exactly. Are they eating a little bit less?
Yeah.
Right? Because if you're still consuming 2,400 calories over a 10-hour to 12-hour window, well, then you're not really reaping the benefits. So you probably will do better on a 16-8.
Yeah. Okay, cool.
Because you give the body a 16-hour window of time to burn the very calories that you've stored when you've been eating for eight hours, right?
Right, right. Yeah. Okay. So what, give us another method.
So the other is, I know that people will do, you know, where they eat for 6 days and then they take a 24-hour day fast.
Yeah.
That has been popular over the years before the 16-8 came online. That too is effective.
Yeah.
For how busy people are and how stressed people are, I do find that one to be quite challenging.
Yeah.
For patients. If they do it, they tend to do it more on weekends.
Yeah, yeah.
Because the demands of their workday do not allow them to, they simply don't necessarily thrive on that type of diet, but it is effective.
Yeah, so I generally tell the guys to fast on the Sunday. Mm-hmm. I mean, I tell them fast whenever they eat, because everyone's different. But
right.
I think Sunday's the easiest day because, well, actually, I say two things. Some people I say Sunday, because, you know, you can overeat a little bit on Saturday and know that Sunday you're going to be doing a longer fast. Mm-hmm. The only thing about Sunday is it's a day of rest and day when people can either be busy or not busy. You know what I mean? Like if you're a busy person and Sunday is a busy day for you, then the fasting is going to be a little bit easier because right. you have eaten on Saturday and then you're just busy doing things. And then by the time you're ready to eat, 20 hours is done, your day's over.
Yeah.
On the flip side, there are people who do nothing on Sundays. Like they sit down and watch sports and it's literally their day of rest. And that can be challenging mentally to get through that when you're not doing much. So sometimes I tell people, you know what, on a Monday would be a good time to fast because you're just busy with work. You ate Sunday, the, you know, whatever time, if let's say it's 8 p.m. was your last meal on Sunday. You ate a little bit more carbs because you know that you're going to need that energy to sustain yourself. You do the 20 hour, you go to work, you do everything, you're busy, you're going through everything. You may have some water and coffee or whatever it is. And then boom, you're ready to eat. So there's two ways that I kind of tell these guys to do, but I just let them figure it out on their own.
They have to figure it out. They've got to find their rhythm.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. And what other methods do you have your guys doing?
Yeah. So then, so I know that there's the 5-2 method, which is, eating, fasting 2 days and eating for 5 days.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I don't know that one too much, but I do know that, you're literally fasting for 2 days completely, eating mm-hmm. no calories, and then mm-hmm. during 5 days you're eating. So that seems like a little bit harder, but that's one I don't put them on that one, but that's one that I know.
Yeah, and then there's the one meal a day,
right?
As well, right?
Right.
Which I've got some patients who are following that type of eating structure, yeah. And what I simply tell them is, and that is doable, yeah. provided the meal is large enough,
yeah,
right, and that it's nutrient dense enough,
totally,
right, because you still have to get your vitamins, you still have to get your nutrients, you still have to get all of your macros, all of your antioxidants, and so there's a lot more planning involved if you're going to having one meal a day. But it's equally as like all of these different types of fasting protocols, they're all effective. The best one is the one that you can follow,
right,
and that you feel well on and is sustainable over the long term.
Yeah, because I've also used a one meal a day diet, and I didn't do it on purpose. I just did it because there were times where I was really busy and I had a lot of things going on, and I would just eat only once. I would only need to eat once a day. Mm-hmm, like, mm-hmm. But because I made sure, again, if you looked at my plate, there was a lot of nutrient dense food on that plate.
That's right.
So all I needed to do was eat one time that day, and I was fine. I wasn't even, and I could sustain that until the next day and do it again for a while. But yeah, that's also one that, again, you'll find that. And I think as we just kind of segue into this next thing, is the food that you eat is going to be totally key.
That's right.
That's your fasting.
That's right. And just going back to this one meal a day, you can, it's so easy to go to a restaurant, fast food or otherwise, because now they declare number of calories per meal. And you can look at something and say, wow, this has 1900 calories. So if you're on a 1900 calorie diet, those are your calories for the day.
Totally.
But if you actually sort of look at what they bring you, it'll be like fries or some kind of potato, some meat and things like that. For you to make a 1900 calorie meal that is not based on this fast food, yeah. and in fact, you have to have your olive oil, your fish, your nuts, your fruits, and your vegetables, your complex carbs,
yeah.
that serving, that portion ends up being quite large if you're looking to account for 1900 calories, right?
Huge, huge.
But it is doable.
Very hard to eat 1900 calories of good food.
Good food.
Right, because you can go and get 1900 calories shitty food, but that's
so easy.
Not gonna help
so easy, yeah.
With your fasting, listen, guys. Here's an important note that when you're fasting, it's not an opportunity to just eat like shit and then fast. Like that's not what fasting's all about.
That's right.
It's about maximizing your testosterone production and increasing testosterone, maximizing your fat loss, maximizing, keeping the other hormones at bay. And in order to do that, you have to eat clean, healthy.
That's right. Because I have had patients who thought it was an invitation to just eat whatever, but in a narrower window of time.
Yeah.
And the blood work tells us what they're doing. So they can't get away with it.
Yeah.
Because I have seen cholesterol do the opposite, rise rather than fall.
Right.
Because they've been having unhealthy foods. They've been having alcohol, they've been having too many carbohydrates, too much fried food, and the body's basically telling you can't get away with that either.
Right.
So you got to do it right.
Yeah. So let's talk about the type of foods you eat, because I used to do this fasting method where I would only eat proteins and fats and vegetables 5 days a week.
Mm-hmm.
And then so basically how it would work was Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, I would just eat proteins, fats, and carbs. Mm-hmm. I mean, sorry, proteins, fats, and vegetables. Okay. Friday, I would fast all, like I would do a 20 to 24 hour fast.
Right.
And then that meal on Friday, which would only be one meal, would be whatever I want to eat. So I could eat whatever. Like I would have KFC, I would have whatever. And then Saturday I would fast for another 16 hours and have whatever. Mm-hmm. And then Sunday it would be again, just whatever you want to eat. And then Monday go back to 24-hour fast and then back to proteins, carbs. Mm-hmm. That was kind of like a flexible diet plan that allowed me to eat whatever I wanted on the weekends and still be able to lose weight, stay lean. And it worked. It definitely worked because I was eating proteins and carbs. Proteins and fats. The only thing was by Thursday, because I hadn't had any carbs, I couldn't even think. I had no energy. It was rough. Thursdays were rough, but it allowed me to eat whatever I wanted on the weekends. And I did this during the summer because I wanted to, you know, enjoy my summer and this be the, you know, and I didn't drink. I just ate like whatever. But after a while, I got sick of eating shitty foods. Like I really got sick of it. I was like, this is brutal. Like I'm just going to eat clean, healthy foods, maybe some pasta on one of those days. But, the reason why I'm saying this is because that's how I was introduced to intermittent fasting. It's just proteins, fats, and vegetables throughout the week. And then on the weekends, you can eat whatever you want. That's not how I do it now.
Yeah, there's actually no evidence to suggest that cheat days are required.
Yeah.
And have a positive impact on the success of the program. The cheat days are purely psychological.
Yeah, totally.
Because probably what you're doing on the days where you're not having junk food is you're either not happy with the diet that you're on. And when you're not happy and it's not sustainable, then you're looking for foods that will feel like comfort foods, or you won't feel like you're getting yourself cheated, or you're not suffering. Right. But there's no evidence to suggest that we need a cheat day for programs to be successful.
Yeah.
We have to look at the overall food plan to see, well, what is it that you're lacking that we can get into you that's actually a whole food that's healthy and that you can consume long term.
Okay, so during the days of fasting. So during the let's go back to the 16-8. Let's use that as our gauge.
Yeah.
So when you're eating during your eating window, you're still eating carbs, proteins, fats, and vegetables, right?
Yes.
That's especially for guys. This is now we're talking more for on the men's side.
Yes.
Over 40 male. That's what you're eating during your eating window. And that's generally what you're going to eat during your eating window. It's just
regular
meals. And then you're just going to fast. So you'll find like before when you weren't fasting and you were eating three times a day, you probably may only eat twice a day. Really and truly, if you're putting enough calories on that plate of good food, you're gonna. I mean, don't be surprised if you can only eat twice, right?
Yeah, that's right. That's right. Because once you start to get fruits and vegetables in and healthy oils, there's not a whole lot of room for anything else in the day.
Right,
and so you'll find that over time that those foods are very filling and sustainable. There's one thing that I do want to mention about diets, because there are so many out there that people are really confused about whether or not they should be on a paleo diet, a keto diet, a low carb diet, a high carb diet. First of all, if we're going to go based on the diet that we know most about, it's the Mediterranean diet. That's the diet that actually has the most evidence. It's been studied for the longest amount of time. So where I'm going with this is it's not so much the type of diet that you're having, as long as the diet that you're on is healthy, made up of whole foods, you feel good on it, you're not getting energy crashes, and that you can do it long term. That's the best diet. Okay. And when we say Mediterranean diet is essentially high in fish, nuts and seeds, complex carbs like grains, fruits and vegetables, and lean meats.
Right.
So any combination of those foods would be considered a healthy diet.
Right. Yeah. And that's pretty much, you know, parallel to what we're doing with the testosterone diet, but mostly just eating the foods that'll help boost your T levels and help keep the, you know, estrogen and that sort of thing down. That's really our based. But and then adding the intermittent fasting is key, because you can still eat the exact same way, eat the same foods that will boost your T levels, eat the same foods that'll keep estrogen levels low, cortisol levels low, inflammation down, insulin levels, you know, all that stuff getting, you know,
that's
all
those right.
nutrients. And have even a, more of a benefit, because fasting does improve your testosterone levels, right?
Yes.
It's that luteinizing hormone running, right? When you fast, correct?
Exactly. Exactly. And as we know, you know, insulin basically promotes the conversion of testosterone to estrogen.
Right.
Right. And so, because here's what's really, really interesting about the male body is the luteinizing hormone has the body producing testosterone.
Right.
Testosterone is converted to estrogen, and men need estrogen. Men need estrogen for the brain, for liver health, and for bone health.
Right.
Okay, so in those specific tissues, testosterone is converted to estrogen. Okay, now, if a man is carrying any amount of fat on his body, that fat converts testosterone to estrogen.
Yes.
So that's a sort of separate tissue. It's,
yes.
And it's an... it's not to a man's benefit. So testosterone converting to estrogen in bone, brain, and liver is beneficial. Testosterone right. being converted to estrogen in fat is not beneficial.
Right.
The way that the brain knows to how to regulate testosterone production via LH is the negative feedback loop coming in from estrogen. So if estrogen is high,
yeah.
it tells the brain, brain, we've got more than enough testosterone. We don't need any more.
Exactly.
Okay. But so the brain doesn't know that that estrogen is coming from fat.
Right.
It's just assuming that there's very large amounts of testosterone that are being converted to help the brain, liver, and bone. It doesn't know that it's coming from fat, but it says, okay, you have too much estrogen. We're going to shut testosterone down.
Totally. And that's why, guys, it's very important not to have an overabundance of estrogen, just a little bit of estrogen, which is what you need, which by boosting your testosterone levels, your testosterone will provide those places with the estrogen that it needs. But when you have an abundance of fat, that's why in that first phase, we're trying to get your fat levels down as much as possible. So that kind of negative effect of testosterone and estrogen going on, that fight that's going on, is not happening as much.
Exactly. So as soon as a man's insulin drops, his yeah. testosterone starts to rise.
Right, right.
Right. And we see a drop in insulin throughout the day via fasting, whichever method a man wants to follow.
Right.
Right. So we can quantify that. And I just want to say is we can quantify the ratio of total of testosterone to estrogen to see if you're trending towards producing more estrogen.
Right.
Right. So that ratio is a 10 to 1. If it's less than that, then Houston, we have a problem.
Exactly. 10 to 1, guys. Testosterone to estrogen. That's a
lot. And that can be measured in the blood.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's huge. Okay. So the type of foods that you want. So here's another question for you. Does it matter? So this is what I've seen and read and heard that, you know, in order to increase fat loss, now we're just talking about the fat loss portion of fasting. That when you break your fast, you should either break it with protein, carbs, and vegetables, or protein, fats, and vegetables, but not combining fats and carbs when you break it, because the body is I can't remember what I read, but your when you're combining the fats and carbs, a lot of glycogen.
Glycogen.
Sorry,
the stores from the liver. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I think it uses, instead of it using the fat, it actually all of a sudden pops into the carbs and uses that as energy when you want to use the fat as energy.
Fat.
So,
I mean, that would make sense to me to do like vegetables, protein, and fat.
Yeah, or vegetables, protein, and carbs.
And carb, but not both.
Combining carbs and fats.
Yes. Because remember, like the body has this innate wisdom, and it knows. So it has two fuel sources: glucose, which is readily accessible via the stores that are found in the liver, for example, and then fat is a second fuel source when we don't have enough glucose. So definitely, no, because I've never really thought about it. I the big one was protein at breakfast.
Yeah.
shows that insulin for the rest of the day is better controlled than if breakfast was devoid of protein.
Protein, yeah, yeah.
But yeah, I would agree with you that either or, but not both, when it comes to fat and carbs.
Either or. But then, so when I presented that to my guys, it was they're like, "Well, you told us to have a balanced plate of protein, carbs, fats, and vegetables." And I'm like, "Yeah, but if you're fasting, the first meal will be void of one of those macronutrients, but then the rest of your meals will continue to have those. So if you do eat three times a day, then that one time will be and you could actually use a protein shake, like, you know, have a protein shake.
Oh, 100%.
Whatever, to break your fast and then have the two remaining meals of the day as your, you know, proteins, carbs, fats, vegetables, or fruits meals. And that's a good strategy. But I think that strategy with the protein, carbs, protein, fats is a advanced fat loss. Like, if you really want to get that fat loss, are you not going to get results from doing a 16-8 fast and you know, having them balanced plates? Of course, you'll get results still. You'll still benefit from the fasting. But if you want to just say, okay, let's just kick this fat loss into the next gear, then protein, carbs, vegetables, or protein, fats, vegetables, but don't connect. Just right after the fast.
Tell me, what kind of program are your guys using for counting calories and sort of meal planning?
We don't count calories. It's just a balanced plate. So I don't have them counting calories. If they don't have enough energy throughout the day, or they feel like they're snacking too much on the weekends, or what happens when they start the nutrition plan is the guys are still in the mindset that carbs are bad. So when I have them posting their meals, and you can see that they're at the beginning, like the first week, their meals are void of carbs.
Right.
And so I'm like, guys, you have to eat carbs. So then we introduce carbs, but they put a little bit of carbs in there, a little bit. And then I often get, not often, but people will say, you know what? I'm having problems on the weekends because I don't feel like I have enough energy, or I feel like I need to snack. And I go, that's because you're not eating enough carbs throughout the week.
Right.
Or my fat loss isn't as fast as it was before. And that's because you're not eating enough carbs throughout the week. You need to have that carb to keep the metabolism going. Your body's in starvation mode when it's not getting the carbs. So, where am I going with this? Oh yeah. So we don't count calories. We just have just that plate. Just make sure that plate that you have four of those macronutrients from a food list that I have.
Okay. So yeah, you give them a list so that they have a sense of how much of carbs, how much protein, all that. Good. Okay.
Yeah. Give them a list.
That's excellent.
And so it's like, here are your go-to carbs, here are your go-to proteins, like choose your go-to so that they choose their own meals. Like they choose their own carbs that they like. They choose so that they're eating things that they like, right?
And
then they look at the plate and it's like, okay, here's a plate. It's balanced. It's got everything it needs on this plate. The ratio is going to be more carbs and fats. So it's usually 40-40-20 at the beginning. So 40 fats, 40 carbs, 20 protein, because we don't need as much protein as we're getting older. Because, you know, it takes a lot to the thermic effect, right? So it takes a lot to digest. So cortisol levels are high. So I try to keep the protein to a minimal, but they still need it with every single meal, no matter.
That's right.
But it's mostly carbs and fats that take over that plate. Mm-hmm.
Excellent.
And vegetables. So that's generally what it is. And then, so yeah, there's no really calorie counting. It's just more ratio.
Got it.
Yeah. More ratio.
Okay. Excellent.
Yeah. Yeah. So I'm just trying to think of what else we can, yeah, I think that's, do you have any other, you know, we talked about the foods to eat. So keeping the nutrient dense foods, making sure that you're eating healthy and clean. You know, choose the fasting method that you can do. 16-8 is the perfect one to start with. Or doing 120 to 24-hour fast a week is a good one to start with, just to dip your foot into it to see how you
can. You definitely want to be playing around to see which one is sustainable for you based on your current lifestyle.
Right, right.
Right. So that's why I would suggest, start with a 16-8.
Yeah.
Do that for a couple of weeks. See how you feel. In fact, many people will find that they start to lose weight, having changed nothing in terms of what they were eating, but just redistributing the calories throughout the day, that they see weight loss almost instantly within the first 2 weeks.
Totally.
Which gets them really excited.
Yes.
Because now they're feeling empowered because they've seen results. And then they can try working with other fasting programs.
Right.
Or they can stick to the 16-80 indefinitely because the evidence for fasting is very strong.
Yeah, especially testosterone boosting, fat burning.
Immune system strengthening.
Right.
Right.
Yeah, and then
repair.
Research on hair, yeah.
Everything repairs when you're fasting.
Right.
Not when you're eating all the time.
Right, exactly.
Right.
And we know that when we eat, our testosterone levels dip, right? They actually dip.
Yeah.
So even though we do need to eat, we need that food in order to get the micronutrients to help produce during the time of eating, your actual levels are going down.
That's so. Right. Because when does a man's testosterone start to rise? It's in the middle of the night,
in the
2, 3, 4 a.m. when he is fasting.
Right, right.
Exactly. Okay.
So, and here's the thing too. Here's one thing that I'm really, I've learned is if something's working and it's easy for you to do and it's sustainable, then you don't need to change it.
Exactly.
They're like, oh, you know what? I've been doing this for a long time, but let me try this. Like, you don't do that. Like, it's working. So just make that shift. If something's working, check, put that in, move on to something else.
That's right. Particularly if you're checking in with your healthcare provider, physician or naturopath or whoever it is that you're working with, and you're getting a clean bill of health year after year, then you're doing something right and you stick to that. You don't go around, reinventing the wheel.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Good, man. Well, this has been great. I think, do you have anything else, any other wisdom with intermittent fasting?
If your listeners are, I don't know how keen they are on reading up on research and things like that, but there's a wonderful professor out of Italy. I can't tell you which university, but his name is Dr. Walter Longo.
Yeah.
And he's written a book called The Fasting Mimicking Diet,
which goes
through exactly what you and I were discussing today and the benefits of fasting and how, 16-8 and just, or any kind of like once weekly, longer periods of time, he goes into the historical sort of benefits of fasting and how you can do it in today's world.
Yeah.
And it's an interesting read, so I do suggest it.
Awesome. Okay, guys. So doesn't matter which fast you use, whether it's 16-8, whether it's 5-2, whether it's warrior diet, whether it's 120 to 24 hour fast, whether it's, I don't know, there's probably other ones out there that I don't know, but bottom line is find the one that fits you, your lifestyle, that you can use that's sustainable. Like literally you should be on a nutrition lifestyle plan that you could do for 2 years. If you can't
exactly
do it, you're straight, then it's the wrong thing, right?
Yes.
You can't sustain it for 2 years. That's
yeah.
how I think. You can do this for 2 years straight. If you can do a keto diet for 2 years straight without bending here and there, then hey, that's working for you. If you can do paleo for 2 years straight, hey, it's working for you. If you can do low carb for 2 years straight, or if you can do low fat for 2 years straight, but I'm going to tell you right now, those diets, you will not be able to do for 2 years straight.
No, because if you're...
If you're
miserable... Right. Yeah. If you're grumpy and you're white knuckling these diets, it's not working for you.
Exactly. And it's and the diets also have to for us as older men, it has to support our hormones. Has to support our testosterone and also the other hormones to keep them at bay. So and intermittent fasting will do that. It will do there's research and science that shows that it will help with testosterone production, that will help keep the other hormones at bay. It will help with fat loss. Like it's there.
Yep. It raises, it's good for the good hormones like testosterone, DHEA, growth hormone, and it keeps the bad hormones like cortisol, insulin, and estrogen low, which is what we're hoping for.
You don't have a little bit of time, but
if
you're building muscle, you're building muscle, you can still be on an intermittent fasting diet.
100%.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
And that's what our ancestors who were running around in loincloths throwing spears, they were building muscle and they were fasting.
That's right. So guys, the only thing is during your meals, you may want a little bit more carbs to feed the muscles because muscles do need carbs to grow, but you may just need a little bit more. But again, it's definitely, you'll definitely build muscle during the fasting phase. So whether it's 16-8, whether it's 5-2 method, whether it's the warrior diet, whether it's you know, one meal a day or 24-hour diet, whatever it is, definitely introduce it into your life and use it and see and reap the benefits.
Excellent.
Thank you so much, Dr. Dom.
My pleasure.
This has been awesome. Again, once again, bringing knowledge to the people. All right.
One podcast at a time.
Yeah. Thanks so much. And we'll talk soon.
Sounds good.
Hey, I hope you enjoyed that episode and got a lot of information from there that you can start using right away. Please make sure that you give this a 5-star rating and download this and send it to your friends. Also, if you haven't yet, please join the Over 40 Alpha Brotherhood for free. If you go to over40alpha.com/7-day trial, join for free and get workouts, nutrition, recovery, mindset, everything you need to get into the best shape of your life. Thanks a lot, and I'll see you in the next episode. Get it done.
You've been listening to the Over 40 Alpha podcast, hosted by Funk Roberts, former professional athlete turned master metabolic trainer and best-selling author, bringing you the best information to help you get into the best shape and health of your life in your 40s, 50s, 60s, and beyond. Join us for another podcast.